We have an opportunity to seek and to ask questions, and what we want to know of you is this. We've been here for 8 years now. Some of you have not known us for 8 years, but some of you have. Do you believe the word that we have brought?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you said yes as a general answer, yes.
Amen.
But is there part of that word that you have trouble with, that you don't believe? Did you hear something that you don't believe? Do you believe that I believe something that is not true? Here's your chance to ask the questions, and I'm not the only one answering. We have other brethren here that will join with me. We're a team. We're also elders. We're plural. So don't let us go home and say, well, we don't really believe what he said, or we really don't understand that very well. You know, he didn't make a very good case from the Word of God, and we think his case is weak. And my case is better. So let me hear. Come on, don't wait till I'm gone and then say it to each other or say it in one of your meetings. Say it now, and we can hear it, and we can hammer it out. I don't know. Maybe we heard rumors that some of you are having trouble with some of the word here.
Brother Mark, it's not that I don't believe. I believe with you, but somewhat I don't really understand.
All right.
First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. I just wanted some clarification.
Okay, we're talking about rapture. Is that what we're talking about? Is that giving you a problem? How many are having a problem with that? You don't have a problem? Raymer? No?
I have a problem with
that. Is that giving you a problem with no pre-tribulation rapture? That's the question. All right, so where are we going? We're going into what? First Thessalonians?
Chapter 4, verse 17.
Okay.
Maybe what the question mark would have been, does anybody here believe in the rapture?
Yes, that's a good question, George.
Because somebody say, I may not have a problem with rapture because they believe it. They don't.
How many of you believe that we are going to be raptured, caught away, escape, whatever?
Well, I believe some soon, maybe it will become. So, I don't know when,
as said
the Bible, everybody, Christians, should be.
Okay, I think the question is pre-tribulation rapture.
I don't know that.
But they may not understand. Some people believe in pre, some people believe in mid, some people believe in post-tribulation rapture.
Okay, I guess it depends on how you want to define rapture. Okay, first of all, the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word here is caught away, caught up. Okay, now there's three places in the Bible that that term is used. Okay, the first place, Paul said, I was caught away. Now, Paul is still living. He's still here. But he said, I was caught away to the third heaven. I don't know whether I was in the body. I don't know what I was in, but I was caught away. It's the same word, the very same word.
Where is that?
Where is it? Somebody will have to find it.
Second Corinthians 12:2.
Do you want to turn to it? I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven.
What's that letter?
2 Corinthians 12:2.
2 Corinthians 12:2.
And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. So basically he's talking about he had an experience. He doesn't know if his body went or not, but his body is still here, so we know that his body didn't disappear. His body stayed here. Now, I can speculate what happened. We know that Paul was stoned and left for dead. And he might have died in this time when they stoned him to kill him. And he might have had a visit to the third heaven. He was caught away. All right? But he was still here. His spirit was caught away. Okay? His soul was raptured, if you want to use the word. There's another place, and if you want to turn over to Revelation chapter 12, and we know that this is the passage about the woman church standing on the moon church. The moon is under her feet. It's another church. And inside of her is a man-child church. Okay? Moon and woman are both feminine. They speak of a church, and then there comes forth out of the woman church. Okay? We have nothing better now than a woman church. We do not yet have a man-child church. Okay? The woman church is a church that must receive the life of the seed of Christ in order to bring forth. Now, the man-child church is a church, the body is completely joined to the head. The head is Christ. We say that Christ is the head of the church. But the church is not acting like Christ is the head. So this man-child church is going to be a different nature than any kind of church that we have ever known. And he is going to be brought forth from travail, from tribulation. Amen?
Amen.
The woman church is going to travail, be in much pain. All right, now I don't believe that the woman church is in very much pain right now. We have minor afflictions. Yeah. And Bert is pointing out that there is woman church in other countries where the ISIS is busy killing them.
Yeah.
Cutting their head off.
Is this woman probably the Israelite? Is this woman speaking this verse is Israel?
No. You know why? Go back to chapter 4. You see, a lot of people say, well, this is a picture of Israel and Israel bringing forth Jesus Christ. That's a past historical event. That's in the past. When John was writing that, Mary, whatever, had already brought forth Jesus Christ. All right, now, see what it says here. After this, verse 1, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Hereafter means what? In the future. So this cannot relate to past. What John saw, even in the very first chapter, The angel said the same thing. He said, I will show you things which must shortly come to pass. So it's all in the future. It's not Christ the Messiah that he's talking about here. I know that's what the church teaches.
I just only asking this because there's also make a clarification how you understand about this.
Yeah, okay. So this man-child is not one man. It's a man-child company of people.
There are also some books or even writers that they have been telling these things, which is pertaining to Israel. And then there are also some that it is also becoming a church, as we are now. Part of this church is from one side. But that's why I'm only asking you what is your idea about this?
Oh, a future Israel. A future event for Israel.
Israel will be the whole thing is about natural Israel.
Oh, I see. Natural Israel. Okay. Well, doesn't the Word of God say that there is now one man? And the wall of partition has been torn down. So, is Christ going to deal differently with Israel than with the saved Gentiles? Are we going to have an Israel bride and a Gentile bride too?
No.
He's not going to marry two brides. Listen, I know you go and read the books. The books are full of this Israel talk. They want their new temple. They want their sacrifice. They want to train their priests. I mean, there's all kinds of exciting things. They found a red heifer somewhere in Texas. Does not have one white hair. It's interesting, I suppose, if you want to read. Come now, let us keep our eyes on the house of God, the people of God, the born-again believers. You see, because if you're going to separate Israel, then tell me, how are you going to interpret Matthew 24, verse 22? Maybe you should read verse 21 with it.
For then shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, of this time. No evil shall be.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, we understand that is the great tribulation,
yes.
Right? Okay, go on now. Next verse.
And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Okay. For whose sake?
Elect.
Okay, who are the elect?
The Jews and the church.
The Jews who are born again.
Yeah, and the church.
And the church, which is all one church. They're not two separate churches. It doesn't matter if you have Jewish blood in you or Gentile blood. If you're now, let me tell you, I had a little struggle with this whole rapture business. All right, I was in an Assembly of God church. Were you ever in an Assembly of God church?
Yes, sir.
I know what they believe.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, I went to the pastor's office and I asked him. I said, "Are you really satisfied with this?"
Not all assemblies of God have been believing that because there are two.
Okay.
They have been living in a mid-trib. They have been closing the mid-tribulation. They have been divided in teaching about rapture. I was there, so I know.
It doesn't matter. Mid-trib or pre-trib, it all means escape. Escape. So I said to him, "Brother, can I ask you some questions? Are you okay with this?" He went and he reached back and he pulled a book out and he said, "This is the Assembly of God manual." And he turned and he found the page and it said, "The pastor of the church shall preach rapture at least once a year in the church. I mean, this is not God writing this book. This is their general superintendents writing their doctrine and saying, this is what you shall preach. So, he was a young man. He was only in his late 20s. He said, I really don't know, Brother Mark. You know, so I went to an older man, older pastor. He took me to their gatherings of the other churches and the pastors. And the man was a very kind man. He was about 63 years old, 10 years younger than I am now. But I thought he was an old man at the time. And I thought he would give me a very good straight answer. I said, Brother Chamberlain. Yes, Brother Mark. He was so kind. I said, Brother Chamberlain, can I ask you a question? He said, why? Yes, of course, Brother Mark. Again, he was very nice. I said, Brother Chamberlain, who are the elect? Oh, my goodness. His face turned black immediately, and he spit the words at me. Why, the Jews, of course. Well, I was so stunned by his answer that I said to myself, I am never going to ask another man that question. So the Lord sent me then to become a full-time teacher. Not full-time in as much as I did not work. I mean full-time is I had the responsibility every week, several times a week, bring the Word of God, shepherd the sheep, you know what I mean. And I went down to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm supposed to be a teacher. I figured that out already. I said, I cannot teach the Word of God, and I am not going to teach the wrong thing of the Word of God until I know what the Word of God means. And I'm going to have to defend everything that I say completely with the Word of God. I said, God, the biggest problem I have to know is who are the elect. If I know who the elect are, then I know I can answer the rest of the question, who is going to be here in the tribulation? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, well, look it up, son. I said, what do you mean, look it up? He said, well, you have a concordance, don't you? And I said, why, yes. What a good idea. Why didn't I think of that? See, I had a mental block that I could not think I could find the answer in the Word of God. So I looked up the word elect, and guess what? In the epistles, okay, all the New Testament, I looked up elect. Guess what I found out? Born again, blood-bought, believers, Jew, Gentile, Greek, African, whatever they are. Blood-bought, born-again believers are the elect. I said, okay, I have the answer. Now I can make the rest of the doctrine fit. Because something didn't fit. When I tried to put the glove on, something didn't fit. And I said, I have to have the right fit. The Holy Spirit has to be the right, or I can't teach it. So, we know, first of all, that the elect are going to be here, and they're going to have to overcome, and they're going to have to go through, but he says the time will be shortened for the elect's sake.
There's a scripture, just to go with what you're just saying, is in Colossians 3.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
10 and 11. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, you know, he just goes through the whole thing. But Christ is all.
You know, there is so much interest today that people want to go back and become Jews. Really? I mean, you're surprised the emails that I get from people. They are want me to listen to Hebrew Nation and Rabbi this guy and Rabbi that guy, and I just want the Word of God. They're all proponents of some Jewish Israel, natural Israel. Now, I don't know. God may have some special things for natural Israel, but I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. Okay? And frankly, God destroyed that temple. He destroyed that temple by the Romans because it had become an abomination of desolation. Do you know what I mean? Because he had become the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, and they kept on sacrificing lambs and bulls. And it was a stench to God for them to continue to do that when he had given his only begotten Son as the final, last sacrifice.
Because they didn't understand.
They didn't understand because they didn't want to understand.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
They had every opportunity to understand. They had God himself in the flesh, and they resisted because of the stubbornness of their heart. Amen. Now, first of all, we need to know the context of what he's talking about here. Okay? You go to the last verse in chapter 3. The last verse in chapter 3. Now remember, Paul did not write chapter 3, chapter 4. He just wrote the letter. And when the men came along later, they said, well, we should stop the chapter here and we should start another chapter. But the last verse in chapter 2 or 3 is part of what he's talking about here. It says here, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Coming, remember, every word is important. That's why you have this new King James. You should have brought your interlinear, brother. It's exact, but if you understand your English, if you have an English King James Bible, the coming with all the saints. Now, what is their picture? Is he coming to take the saints?
Yeah.
Or is he coming with the saints?
This is to explain about the rapture. I just gave you this idea. But I did not really put us. It is really a doctrine, but it is only a theological aspect that these people have been teaching about the rapture. Because for me, I stand with what the Bible says. But this is it, the rapture it says. That when the as the caught up, I will not use the rapture, when the caught up it happens, is this. That all those, when the time of the tribulation that will come, as what this present time that it will be going on, there is be a tribulation, but not really the great tribulation as what the Bible speak it out. So when the tribulation it comes, that troubles really happen in all world, as we found out to this time, the Antichrist will appear. As they will serve it in 7 years. In the 7 years that he will serve, as he will help to make peace with Israel and all the people around that fight Israel during the time, because Israel will be what we call trampled by this by hidden enemy. And so that the time that the Antichrist will come and solve the problem. And when they solve the problem, really, they solve the problem because he proved that he is Christ. So the time people will believe him, even the Jews believe him. But the time he really manifests his real self that he is the Antichrist. So after 3.5 years, he, for sure, is what his plan, that he, what we call, make troubles with this. The Jews, even the Christians, they will smash it all down. And that is the time when there is the cook-up. That all the believers who are that during the time, they will be brought up. And this is what I will just tell you, because this is what they have been teaching all of the time.
All right, let's...
So, what has been done, they have been in the air. Meeting with the saints.
Meet in the air.
Meet in the air. With the people who have been died with Christ, and those the people also live in Christ, that they will totally change with the glorified body and meet in air, and there Jesus is there. And after that, for a sort of 3.5 years, he will be pulled down together with the saints, which is also they believe on that best. That's it.
Okay. Well, now we know what they believe. Do you believe that?
Yes, I believe that.
What you just said?
Yeah, I believe on that.
Okay.
But that I'm really not been doing that. I've been imposing this. This is true. I did.
You're not sure.
Because I did not, what I've been believing on me, I make it sure first that it is Christ's revelation on me. Because if it is not revealed to me as it is true, I will not give it
to you. Well, but I told the Lord that I would not teach anything like that
until I really knew
the Word of God said.
I also, because I am from the Primitivist before, when I also heard that kind of teaching, but the time that God called us to have these ships to be taught, I always escape from this kind of teaching because I don't really know what it is. So until such time that when we came to the Bible school, so we need to learn, because there are questions about the God. So I didn't get that kind of teaching also, because I don't really understand what is it. But I have to prepare in myself that God will get me with him. So until this kind of teaching we heard, and it amazed us, it's really open up our eyes, our hearts, our soul to understand what it is. So we can say that we are not now starting to teach what is in the Bible now, because we really learn what the Bible says for us.
Okay.
So we are with him, he is with us, and we are his kingdom. He will he make us his kingdom and his abode. So we really understand, and we keep on studying for this.
Can I answer you from the Word of God?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, the rapture idea did not come into the church until about the year 1820. Now, how did the church go for 1800 years without believing in a rapture?
I think Brother Martin, it was in 1516.
Not to the extent that they are now. It was a girl in Scotland that had a vision. Okay, and I'm going to bring you my little book. I have a little book called Rapture.
If you read right things with
values, anyway, I don't believe it.
Yeah, yes.
I want to tell you what the Word of God says. Okay, yes. There are a lot of corrupt teachers. Let me tell you, there are corrupt teachers that go right back to the second century, that are saying things, they've changed the Word of God, they've come up with beliefs that are not in the Word of God. Now, first of all, this whole idea of 7-year tribulation, you cannot support that 7-year business. It is not in the Word. The only mention of three and a half is in Revelation. Now, in order to make that seven, you have to twist this. You have to twist it. You have to put them together and say, well, this is this. This is three and a half. This is three and a half. Put them together. You've got 2 7. No. The original thing is the seven that they are mistranslating, misunderstanding the passage from the book of Daniel. Do you follow what I'm saying? Where Daniel talked about the 70th week. Okay? The 70th week, it said the Messiah will come, and in the midst of the week, he shall be cut off. Are you with me? That means after 3.5 years, he's cut off. Was Jesus the Messiah? Was he cut off after 3.5 years of ministry? So the first 3.5 years is gone. There's no more 7 left. All right? So we only have 3.5 years of tribulation. It's all going to be great tribulation. Not mild tribulation, moderate tribulation, all great tribulation. Okay? Jesus said, like a snare, it will come upon all the earth. That means it's not going to come gradually. One day the trap is going to spring. Bam! And we're going to be there.
In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus answered all the questions of the Jews concerning the things that will happen.
He was talking to his disciples.
Yeah, it is not for the church. So how could we...
Oh my. Are you going to say everything that's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John is only for the Jews?
No, because that is the part that there is a question about the Jews.
But come on now. He didn't have any Gentile apostles. It was first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles.
What is it?
Mother Mark, I have one thing to share. You know what I believe now and what we are doing? Whatever the tribulation comes, I did not depend on what about rapture. I only pray to the Lord that, Lord, when the time comes, please, Lord, prepare my life.
Okay, I agree with that.
That is what I pray.
All right, that's a good thing.
That is what I teach to the people.
Brethren, if you believe this old Assembly of God thing, please don't keep. You have got to study the Word of God.
That's right. I just mean...
No, come now. Before you go off in any more teaching, you have got to study the Word of God. Now, you have got concordance, all right? Some of you have a computer that you can go online or whatever, but you've got a strong concordance. You go and you look these words up. Now, I didn't even get to this brother in Thessalonians yet, but I just want to say one more thing about the book of Daniel. That whole sentence about the prince or something making a contract with Israel, the whole thing is a misunderstanding of an English sentence. The subject of that sentence is not the prince of darkness. The subject is Jesus Christ the Messiah. And it carries on right down into the second sentence. Let's go look it up. You're still going to think it's, unless I go back to Daniel. Okay, we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 9:26, you said. Oh, here we are. Here, it's in the right place now. Okay. Okay, chapter verse 24 is 70 weeks. Okay, Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks. Okay? Now, 70 weeks is how many years? 490 years. Okay, it's going to start, the clock is going to start with the order to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, I can never make the math work out. But you know what? I found out that there were at least three orders to rebuild Jerusalem. And they were all at different times. So you have to find the right one. And the math will work out. Okay, it's you don't have to go to Jewish years or lunar years or anything like that. Okay? Now, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince. Now remember, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now he's adding up these segments. I don't know why he split it up. And after 62 weeks. Now listen to this now. This is an English sentence. If you're an English teacher, you'll diagram this sentence. And after 62 weeks, what's 62? 32 weeks, okay, which is years, which brings you into the 70th week, all right, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people, all right, now listen to this, first is Messiah, Messiah shall be cut off, colon, and the people of the prince. Alright, so what's the subject of the sentence is Messiah. Now, if you're going to make a second subject, it would be the people. Not the people of a prince, but that's not English. That's another somebody coming in.
But not himself.
Shall
Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of his
prince. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come
shall destroy
the city and the sanctuary, and the end shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war desolations is determined. Now, did that not happen prophetically? Was there not a people and a prince that came in and destroyed the sanctuary?
The Romans
did it.
Yeah.
So now in order to make this prophecy come out the way they want it to come out, they have to have their new temple. Do you understand how they're twisting it? That's why they keep saying, Jews, Jews, Israel, Israel, rabbis, rabbis, temple, temple, temple. You know, they want the Jews. They're going to give money. They're going to give money. I don't think God's going to let them do it. I'm not a prophet. I just don't think God's going to. He destroyed it. I don't think he's going to let them build it again. Somebody says, well, it isn't the Dome of the Wall. It's some other place. Well, they believe it's the Dome of the Wall, and they're not going to get it. Okay? Now, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant. All right, the subject is he, and the subject refers to the subject of the former sentence, which is what? Messiah the prince, or people of a prince?
The people.
No. It refers to the Messiah. It refers to the Messiah. The Messiah will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Jesus came and he made a covenant with the church that a people of God can walk in the fullness of Christ for 7 years. He fulfilled the first half of that, and he is saying that I am going to bring forth a man-child company that will walk as I have walked on this earth in the power and authority that I have walked for 3.5 years.
Amen.
And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. This Jesus did. Because he was the last sacrifice that God accepted.
Amen.
There was, in God's eyes, there was no more lamb except the Lamb of God, the Son, his only Son. Now, the Jews did not stop sacrificing, but it was an abomination, and God stopped it. Okay? But you circle that word he in verse 27, and you have to twist that to apply that to an antichrist.
Mostly, I mean, I heard mostly preaching about that, even in television from time to time. They will refer it to antichrist sometimes.
Yeah, well, they've got their network. If you want to believe it, go ahead and believe it. But you're going to be awfully surprised when the end of the day comes. Mm. Because that's not the way it's going to come out. Now, I have no interest in having it either way. My only interest before God is I want to know the truth. Because I told God, I said, I do not want to preach anything that I cannot prove from the Word of God.
Amen.
So, if your heart is hard on this, ask God to soften your heart.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to go back to Thessalonians. All right, I want to go back to that verse, the end, the last verse of chapter 3 is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Now, you have to understand in Matthew 24, the word come and coming in English, there are four different Greek words. I'm not a Greek scholar. Martin can probably tell you. There are four different Greek words that are translated as come or coming. And they all mean something different. Now, the best of those words is the one that's used here. And it's used in Matthew 24 also. Not in every place, but right here, the word coming means the parousia. Parousia. Parousia is the big coming. It's the grand coming. It is the final coming. Okay? It is not a drive-by pickup. Rapture is not really a coming. It's a shooting by. Scoop. Scoop them up. That in no way, in no way does it describe this word parousia. Parousia means the coming of a great important person, a big celebration, and the person comes and he stays. He comes and he stays. Did you get that? Look up parousia if you want. You might have to go to the internet to get a real good description. And I'm sorry, you might even have to go to some Greek literature. When a visiting king came, they had a big party. They called it the parousia. The king is going to stay, and everybody is so glad.
Marriage supper?
Oh, we're having a marriage supper right now. We're feasting on Jesus. Now, if you want a marriage supper, you saw that little picture, that great big table up in the clouds. Big chairs set, fine silver things. It's not going to be a natural event like that, brethren. The kingdom of God comes not with observation. You're going to feast on Christ in the Word and the Spirit.
Amen.
If you want natural things, you've come to the wrong place. If you want to come up into spiritual things, that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about a Jewish temple made of stone and that type of thing. All right, so the parousia. All right, now let's look at the other words. We need to define these words, brother. And the same word now in verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15. So in verse 14, he's talking about those who are dead who will come back when Jesus returns. In other words, the dead will be raised. Am I right? Verse 14, even though those who sleep, okay, in Jesus will God bring with him. So God is going to bring with him all the saints. The saints that have died, they're coming back. Where are we going to live? Here's the question. Where are you going to be for the next 1,000 years? Are you going to be up on a cloud somewhere? Are you going to be playing a harp up there somewhere? No, you're going to be here on earth. If you want to rule and reign with him, you have to fulfill the requirement of ruling and reigning. If you want to be a pillar, you can be a pillar. If you want the white stone, you fulfill the requirement of overcoming. Okay? So, it says in verse 15 now, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord." Now, Paul is not saying, "This is my guess." He says, "This is the word of the Lord." "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." In other words, we're not going to come ahead of those who have already gone before us. So that word "coming" again, unto the parousia of the parousia of the Lord. Okay? "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Again, what is the context of this word? The context is the last trumpet, the resurrection of the dead. Now, are you going to have a last trumpet, a resurrection of the dead at the beginning of the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, or the end of the tribulation when Jesus finally comes? It all has to be the last trumpet. Now, what do they say about the tribulation? What do those movies say? Have you seen their movies? Tribulation? Rapture? Here's a man laying in bed. He's an unbeliever. He's not a good man. His wife is a good woman. They're laying in bed. The sun comes up one morning. She's gone. Where did she go? He runs around the house. "Where's my wife? Where's my wife?" He calls his neighbor. "My wife is gone too." And the airplanes are flying. The pilot disappears. Now, is that a trumpet? Is that a loud announcement? Is that the last trumpet sound? I mean, no, that's the secret. Quiet. Now, yes, there is a secret coming, but it's not going to take you anywhere. The secret coming is Christ will come suddenly into his temple. And we will be, as the man-child, we will be caught to his throne, which means caught up into a place of authority where we can walk as he walked for 3.5 years. Now, you can be there, or you can be in the outer court, and the outer court is trampled underfoot. I want to be there.
Not trampled
underfoot. No, I don't want to be trampled underfoot. I want to be in the man-child company.
Man.
Let's look at the other words. We're not done with these words. The voice of the archangel, okay. "Then we who are alive..." Now, here's the one you wanted to get at. "We who are alive and remain shall be caught up." Now, if we're alive and remain, that means we haven't been raptured, right? But the description is the last trumpet, the archangel's loud voice. That means it's all over. It's all done. The resurrection of the dead, it has to be the last thing. Look everywhere else. Look over in other places in Corinthians where Paul is talking about the resurrection of the dead. He says the last trumpet. The last thing. Not some other trumpet. The last. Okay, now, caught up. We've talked about the word caught up. It means to be taken by force. Did we look at 2 Corinthians 12? Oh yeah, that one we read. Revelation 5. What about Acts 8:39? Oh, here we go. Another man raptured. Philip. He baptized the eunuch. At verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in the cities till he came to Caesarea. Another man caught up. It doesn't say he went to the third heaven or anything like that. He just got moved from out there in the desert to Azotus, and God wanted him to preach somewhere else. Now, I wouldn't mind this kind of caught up. I could save a lot of money on airplane tickets. But I buy a ticket every time. Okay. Caught up with them in the clouds. Clouds. Hebrews.
Are you talking about Hebrews 12:1, where it says that the great cloud of witnesses?
Yeah, the cloud of witnesses.
12:1.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So these clouds are not necessarily natural water clouds. What does it say when Jesus ascended?
He was caught up
in the clouds. I believe that there was a cloud of spiritual witnesses that came to receive the resurrected Lord when he ascended up into heaven. In other words, where did he go? Where? What natural place did he go?
Where did he go
when he ascended?
Elijah was being
brought up.
Where did he go?
That doesn't say where he went. It just said they saw him disappear.
He was riding with his tree.
He went from the natural realm completely into the spiritual realm. He was sort of in between while he still stayed here for 40 days. But then he said, after 40 days, it's all over. Now you know for sure that it's still me, it's really me. I'm going into the spirit realm, and I'm sending now the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have to call on him. And the Son of Man, you will not see him. You wish you could see him, but you're not going to see him for a while.
Brother Mark, also, when you're talking about clouds, Brother Cecil has a book with clouds.
Yeah.
That speaks on the rapture here as well.
All right, two more words, then we'll quit with Thessalonians. The word meet, to meet him in the air. I'll take the simple one first, the word air. So you can ask the rapture believer, where will you go? Where will they go? In the clouds?
In the clouds. With the Lord in the air.
How high up? Pretty high up? Okay. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I understand that there's two Greek words for air. Maybe more. But this word air, A-E-R, I think I have it spelled right. It means the Greek's word was somewhere between sea level and the top of Mount Olympus. It means the air where we live, the air where we breathe. If you go up to where the jet planes fly, you can't breathe up there. So in other words, what's going to happen is going to happen here where we live. This air. This air. That's the Greek word. Now the other word is we are going to meet him in the air. What does meet? You see, if you don't look up the Greek word, you can believe it means anything. But it doesn't. It has a specific meaning. There are only three places that I understand in the New Testament where this word meet is used, this Greek word meet. And I will show you where these verses are. The first one I'll show you is in Matthew. Well, one is here. Matthew 25, verses 1 and 6. And it says that, then shall the kingdom of heaven be, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, it means the same thing. It means, kingdom of heaven means a spiritual kingdom. See, the problem with the church is they want a natural kingdom. They want a kingdom that they can touch. They want a building that they can put a big sign. They want an organization. They want the pastor, a man in a nice suit, a nice bishop, everything like that. That's a natural kingdom. But the kingdom of heaven, amen, is likened unto 10 virgins that took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And I'll define it in a minute. I want to show you where it is. And the next one is in verse, it's right, 6. It says, and at midnight. When is it going to happen?
Midnight.
Midnight is not when you set your clock. Midnight in the Philippines is noon where I live. So it means a spiritual time of the greatest darkness. That sounds a little bit like pretty bad times, doesn't it? At midnight, there was a cry made. In other words, this was not a secret thing. This was a cry, a loud voice said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, I'll define the word and I'll show you where it's used in the book of Acts in exactly that meaning. The word meet doesn't just mean, hey Bert, how you doing? Good to see you. I met Bert in the mall the other day. We met and he went his way and I went my way. When I was in the Philippines, I met Brother Edmar. I met Sister. I met some of the students too. That is not the meaning of the word meet.
An encounter?
No, it doesn't just mean I had an encounter. It means for a person to go from their place of origin to greet or meet a person who is coming from the opposite direction, and they take that person back to the place that they came from. Are you with me?
Yes, like pick somebody up.
You go to the airport and pick them up. When I come to Prague, Brother Martin sends somebody to meet me at the airport. And he brings me to his house in Prague. All right. Now you have to apply that definition to the rapture that you've been taught. Is this a picture of him flying by and picking you all up and taking you away somewhere? It says we will meet him. That means we will go to greet him and escort him back. But the rapture says he is coming to take us somewhere else. Do you see, it's completely contrary. Like I said, this word is used only probably three times in the New Testament. In this case, the Greek language has got a better word than the English word. All right, now let me take you to show you where they actually did this. In Acts chapter 28, verse 15. It's the last chapter. Paul has been shipwrecked one of his many times. Finally, another ship has picked them up and take them up the coast of Italy. And the saints, the believers in Rome, heard that Paul is coming. The word got out. Paul is coming, his ship is coming in. And maybe his ship has already landed. And they say, oh, we know he's going to bring the road in. So, what verse did I say it was? Oh, here, 15. It says, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So they went to meet him in a little place called Appii, or three taverns, whatever the name of it. Where is Paul? Paul is coming from Jerusalem. Right? He started off in Jerusalem. He is coming to Rome. He has finally landed on the shores of Italy. And the brethren from Rome, they have a party of elders, beloved people. They go out and they meet him. Hug him, love him, kiss him, tell him how glad we are. And of course, Paul is there with his chains on, you know, rattling chains. Paul, we love you. Come back now. We'll make a place for you in Rome. You see, if you're going to apply this to rapture, then you have to say that Paul went to take the Roman people back to Jerusalem. Are you with me? Am I clear on that? It says that they met Paul, not Paul met them. You have to follow the language. You follow the language, and it's all perfectly clear. Yes. Brethren, I would not preach this if I did not believe it and cannot support it 100%.
Yes, amen.
Now, I think that's all I want to say about Thessalonians. Okay? And I'm not saying, you know, yeah, the day is going to come when the Lord is going to come and we will meet him in the air. I don't know how it's going to be. If you want to have your rapture, it'll probably take about 1 minute and then it'll be over, because he is going to be here. He's going to live here. He's going to tabernacle with us. He's going to dwell here with us, and we are going to rejoice. We are going to be so enraptured by the thought that Jesus is here. We don't have to go looking for him. He is finally dwelling with man.
Amen.
That's what it means. Now, I can, you raise more questions, give me more verses if you want, and I can defend it from many, many places. First of all, I can tell you this. God never used rapture, escape, anytime in his 6,000 years of dealing with mankind. If it was to escape, why didn't he rapture the children of Israel out of Egypt and take them directly to the Canaan land, drop them off, and say, there you go? Why? 40 years of tribulation. Why? Because man had to have tribulation.
Amen.
Tribulation worketh patience.
Amen.
The kingdom of God comes with tribulation. And I tell you, in this day and in this generation and in the church business today, there is so much mixture, unrighteousness. We have to have tribulation. We have got so much false word in us that it has to be driven out by fire. Any other verses, brother?
Okay, brother. Thank you so much.
Okay. Rita has a question.
I just have a question that I want to ask the elders. Have you read the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation? Has anybody ever not read the Bible from Genesis through Revelation? So you've read it? Lito's read it?
Yeah.
Raymer's not here. But, you know, when I was questioning about the rapture, the Lord spoke to me, and if you go through Genesis all the way through Revelation, everywhere that God took somebody, it was always the wicked that were removed and the righteous seed was left. If the righteous seed wouldn't have been left, the earth would have been destroyed. So you have to know the ways of God. And you cannot just take one scripture and make a doctrine, but when the whole volume of the book speaks contrary to it. You know, first beginning with Noah, okay? The righteous were spared and the wicked were taken. Then we can go to Lot. The righteous were spared, the wicked were taken. We can go to when they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. 14,000 were taken and the righteous were spared. Then you can go to Korah and his rebellion. The wicked were taken, the righteous were spared. You can go to when they were worshiping Baal Peor. 24,000 were taken and the righteous were left and spared. I believe somewhere else, and I think Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Come over here. The righteous again were spared, the wicked were taken. So if you read from Genesis all the way through, it's totally contrary to the rapture thinking. These are the ways of God, that he always would take the wicked and the righteous would always spare. Amen.
Let me make one more comment, okay? Rita revived in me another verse. You have to put every witness together. And the witnesses bear clear witness against a rapture of escape for the righteous. Look at the same passage in Luke, the same message that is brought in Matthew 24. Luke 17. And when you've seen that movie, what is it called? Left Behind. And the guy wrote a whole series of books, Left Behind. And by the way, you can buy those books for about 25 cents now. They're cheap. They're entertainment. But in the movie, they were saying what the churches believe. The righteous would be taken and the wicked left behind. No, in their false doctrine movie. Okay? Now let me read it in Luke. It says, verse 34, I tell you, in that night, there's that night again, you're going to have night over here, and we're going to have daylight over there. So it's not a natural night. It's a spiritual night, a dark time. In that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Now, there was another question asked, but they didn't record it in Matthew. But here's a question that Luke recorded here. It says, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? Where what? Where are they that don't get taken, or where are they that get taken? So we know that where the one stayed in bed, the other woman stayed at the mill, and the other man stayed in the field. So the question is, where were they taken? Where did they go? All right, and this is the verse that the rapture people use. One will be taken, the other left. Okay, if you only read it from Matthew, you can maybe support your thing. But if you read it in Luke, it breaks your whole thing apart. Because it says, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Now, I've heard them try to twist this too. They say, "Oh, that's the body of Christ. And the eagles are eagle saints or something." No, come on. Look at the word. What does the Greek word mean? Where the dead body is, where the corpse is. When you go to the funeral home, you say, "Where is the body?" He's the guy laying in the casket. He's dead. So wherever the dead are, there will... Now, what are these eagles? Vultures! Vultures! These are the things that come and eat it. Do you have any vultures here in the Philippines? No. You know what a vulture is? You've seen movies of Africa? And when the animal dies, they stick their head in the inside of the body and they pull away at the meat until the lions get there, I guess. These are unclean creatures that are feeding on the dead flesh. And what he's saying is, who is going to be taken away is the wicked. The wicked are going to be taken away, and the unclean birds in Revelation, find the unclean birds that are going to be called to a big feast. They're going to have a feast, and they're going to eat the life of these dead, wicked sinners.
The word taken is parlamentarian.
Okay, that's a good word, Bert.
That means to be arrested.
Arrested.
And to be taken to judgment.
Arrested and taken to judgment. So you see, you can build a false doctrine, but you're going to have to twist the Word of God way out of shape. And you can get a lot of people to believe it, because people want to believe that they are not going to suffer any inconvenience. They're going to have their prosperity, they're going to have their nice this and their nice that and their money. I'm telling you, the rules are going to change, and it's all coming to an end, and it is not going to be long. I don't know. Yes, Brother Mark.
There's one scripture in Job which is expressing desire of Jesus. He's praying for us, John 17.
Okay.
Yes, 15. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." So the prayer and desire of Jesus Christ was that they would not be taken away from the world. By the way, the word "take" in Greek is airo.
Which means?
It means take, but it's like airo. You have the aeroflot, you know, air, and it's speaking about taking up, lifting.
Okay, that they don't be snatched up.
Yes. So Jesus is saying here, I'm not praying that he would snatch them out, that he would lift them away, but that you would protect them from evil.
Now, to this, you need to add the other witnesses, and I'm not going to have time to do it, but you need to add these other witnesses of Psalm 91, Isaiah 20:26. "Come into thy secret chambers and shut thy door about you until the indignation is overpassed." Now that is God saying he is well able to keep you here and protect you here. He does not need to take you anywhere. He is saying in Psalm 91, no plague will come nigh thy dwelling. So you're going to have to live here by faith. You're going to have to get your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to have to settle the issue. And it's going to be a spiritual thing that you're going to have to settle with Him. If you hold on to that false doctrine, the trouble is, the people that you preach it to, they're not going to be overcomers. They're only going to be looking for the time, hold on a little while longer. Oh, I can hardly hold on. Oh, they'll take me away. When I'm almost ready to fall in the pit. No, that is not the picture of the overcomer. I could spend the whole rest of the week give you witness after witness. The witnesses all line up. Amen.
One more.
Yeah.
In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it.
Amen. All right, I think I've talked long enough. I didn't intend to talk at all.
Let me just mention one more thing, briefly. I'm not sure whether it was Yonggi Cho or one of the preachers in China who was preaching rapture all years.
Yeah.
And he repented at the end, because when the communists started to... Was it Guochmanee?
Nee. It was Nee.
Guochmanee,
yeah.
Okay. Then he repented at the end. And he said that they didn't prepare the people for tribulation. They were telling them when tribulation comes, they will be taken away. And the people were not ready for tribulation. And when it came, they were rejecting Christ, and they were not able to withstand it. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. They were being slaughtered.
They were slaughtered.
Slaughtered.
They did not.
It's the same thing now that is happening. Now, you know, your tribulation is related to your environment. When it says great tribulation, is now happening in Syria and Iran, Iraq, and those countries there.
Libya.
The church is being slaughtered. And don't tell me, brother, that they don't think that this is great tribulation. And don't tell me that those people have not had the revelation or have the teaching of rapture. And I can guarantee you, they're saying, where are you going? In the midst of it. Their children are being buried alive. Their little girls are being sold into slavery. That's tribulation,
yes.
Such as the world has never known. We have never known the blatantness of it. And it is something that is coming here. You have a contingent of the same mentality here on this island. And you are the force that is supposed to stop it. The power of the Word of God is supposed to stand up as a standard in the midst of that type of tribulation. And it's the Word that we have been bringing you that has the power in it. If we believe it. If we don't believe it, it has no power. And you will become one of the victims that is being harvested.
There's also one more testimony, and that's Corrie Ten Boom, who went through World War II.
Yes.
She went to Africa.
She went to Africa.
And she was in a nation where Uganda, where they were taking away the church. Half the church was already gone. And she rose up and she said, We have deceived the people of God preaching of a rapture, but we haven't prepared them for the persecution.
Amen.
And that's what she said. And she went out and she told the people. She looked out the congregation, knowing that the people she was looking at within 2 days would be murdered.
And they were.
And she said, just keep your eyes on God. She didn't teach any rapture there.
That's the problem with the rapture, is that they would keep on preaching the rapture, but they're not preparing the people. How did you prepare themselves?
Amen.
Facing all this tribulation.
Okay, just a final word. Again, I want to repeat what Bert said. With this word that you are hearing, you can be the people that will rise up and stop this spirit.
Amen.
And God will give you the power to do it.
Amen.
God bless you and amen.